Hey, Chan boys and Chan girls, welcome to episode 37 of Chansplaining. This week we'll be talking about Jackie Chan's SNL episode, as well as his movie, The Spy Next Door. I think that's what it's called. Yeah. neither of these things had enough content that we thought could fill out their own episode by themselves, so we decided to combine them. You can see his SNL episode if you look really hard online, pirate it. But since CISO is no longer a thing, I don't think there's anywhere that's streaming them for free. You could probably see some clips if you look around on the NBC app or something like that. But for the most part, I think Matt is the only one that's seen the whole episode. As for The Spy Next Door, you'll probably be able to find it on Amazon Prime, or it might even just be like on YouTube because the studio is like, whatever, leave it up. No one's going to watch this shit anyway. Yeah, thanks for listening. Please remember to rate, subscribe, follow us on SoundCloud, etc. Have an awesome day. Bye.
You're listening to Chansplaining, the Jackie Chan podcast, featuring your hosts, Sunny Chang, Matt Campbell, and Jordan Asulin. This week, the Chan boys discuss The Spy Next Door. Ladies and gentlemen, the Chan boys!
That was good.
That was good, Jordan. Should I also say that we're going to discuss Jackie Chan's Saturday Night Live episode?
Oh, yeah.
Did the intro this way.
Also, Saturday Night Live with Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Episode 20 of season 2. Yeah, season 25, episode 20.
The whole thing.
Yeah, guys. I hold the keys and you won't know if I'm lying or not. Which is always the case. How's it going, guys? How's your week been?
It's been okay, you know.
Nah, have you been in Atlanta, Sonny?
No, I'm home. I'm home this week. I'm in Atlanta next week, so you'll see me there.
Hot in Atlanta.
Do any fans stop you on the street, Sonny, and tell you in Atlanta and tell you?
No,
I've been looking for you all week.
They don't know who I am. They don't know what I look like.
Oh,
if we had any,
sure about
if
that,
we had
Sonny?
Any merch. Maybe.
I've been posting pictures of you, but like candid pictures of you on our
that
on
you
our
don't
Facebook
know are
page.
Being taken.
Oh yeah,
that's what candid means.
That
right?
Sounds expensive. No, you know that. Well,
that does candid. Candid, I think, means in real life, not non-posed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jordan, what you're doing though is, if I don't have it wrong,
is
you're doing
stalking.
That. You have what I believe is called a peep cam. Mm.
It is. It's inside of a package of Easter candy, a peeps cam.
I celebrate Easter?
Jordan, get real.
Well, that's why I thought it would be safe, because I left the can of the cam in the peeps, and I was like, Sonny's never going to open these.
Yeah.
Jordan just actually set up a spy cam in a random Uniqlo dressing room, and he just happened to catch you a bunch of times.
Well, I mean, odds are going to hit that sweet spot eventually.
That's where you're going to find me. It's like
Sonny loves to go to the Uniqlo at Union Station
in
Washington, D.C. It's his favorite Uniqlo.
It's a good, well...
Dressing room C for Chang. So
that'd be a weird
Jesus
habit.
Jesus Christ, Jordan. Who was the celebrity that was had like a restaurant where he was watching chicks pee? Was it?
Oh,
I feel like it's Mel Gibson.
It's an old musician. I can't remember.
It's an old blues guy. Was it Muddy Waters?
I don't know.
I'm going to look up Muddy Waters pee.
Muddy Waters pee? That sounds... I don't know.
No,
celebrity.
It's not money. Oh, it's BB King, I think.
What? No, it was not.
I think it was. I thought it was one of those guys. Maybe it's not. Well, this is the Jackie Chan podcast, and we know Jackie Chan doesn't watch ladies pee-pee in the dressing room of his restaurant. But I do want to find out who did it.
What?
Blues musician.
What restaurant was it?
I'm going into
no.
dark.
No. Why do you think that you're going to get it from typing in those things?
Gross.
I don't know. It's not working.
Celebrity who was recording.
It's Chuck when... Berry.
Was it?
It was Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry's. I don't know. It was Pinkberry. No.
Wait,
this...
did he own the restaurant?
I don't know. I'm not even sure if it's Chuck Berry.
So you're just disparaging the name of some celebrity.
I know it
I
happened.
I thought it was just Mel Gibson.
I don't think it's Mel Gibson.
It was not Mel Gibson.
We have a plethora of things to hate Mel for.
Yeah.
Taping ladies going pee-pee is not one of them. That's the case. Sonny, the way my Skype is set up, it looks like there are two of you, but one is frozen. So it's very funny to look at.
What?
So
yeah,
in,
my Skype's the same way.
Man. Oh. So kick that other one out.
We have a very small hint of Jackie Chan news this week.
There we go.
Jackie Chan's latest movie is being funded with unclaimed lottery winnings. Which...
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
On Google, that's what I read.
The John Cena one?
I don't know if it's that one. Let me look it up again.
Wait, what does that even mean?
It means that people didn't win... People that, like, never claimed their lotto winnings or just nobody ever won, the government is using that for Jackie Chan's new movie.
Which government?
What do you think?
Our government?
No! Not our government.
The Hong Kong government?
It's Bleeding Steel that did it.
Bleeding? That movie's already out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a weird way to put it, then. It says, NSW government uses unclaimed gambling winnings to fund Jackie Chan film.
What's NSW?
Not safe work.
Oh, the government.
Yeah. Oh, it's Australia. It's not even China. It's Australia.
Oh, that's weird.
Wait, why? I don't understand anything of this story. It's not adding up in my head.
Oh, so it seems like Australia has a law. The Gaming Machines Act of 2001. Cool name for a law, if I may be honest. This money can be spent for such community benefits as the secretary considers appropriate. What the fuck secretary is this?
Oh my god. I would love to be the secretary who gets to choose. It's just like, yeah, yeah. I really like Jackie Chan movies.
He's a fan of ours. That's where we have listen. We do have like a couple people that listen in the Australian continent. There's a chance that he's one of our listeners.
Ooh.
So to be fair, it says the project directly injected over $20 million into the NSW economy and employed over 1,100 staff, crews, cast, and extras.
1,100 was necessary to make. We haven't seen Bleeding Steel, so we can't.
I guess so. It's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. They filmed it in Australia?
I guess so.
We'll find
Interesting.
Out.
Interesting.
We'll find out when I beat your ass in the jack-off later, Jordan. That's my movie. That's weird. Okay, so what we decided to do this episode was take a break from mediocre Jackie Chan fare and spend time on possibly two of the worst Jackie Chan fare. We watched his Saturday Night Live hosting stint
at the end of
season 25. Right?
25.
25, episode 20.
Yeah.
Right, cool. Which is May of 2000. So I was the only one who was able to watch the whole thing, but I thought we could talk about the parts that we all watched and then I'll give a little bit of a rundown around the rest.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So I guess we should start with the intro. The monologue, the skit.
I'm going to say that's not a skit. That's the wrong use of the word. Just for that?
Wait. Can we go over the SNL cast members that were part of this episode?
Let's do it, because it's stacked.
We got Big Willie Style. We got Will Ferrell.
Do it as Don Pardo.
We got Will Ferrell.
Sherry O'Terry.
Nassim Padrón.
She's not in this.
We have Horatio Sands.
Horatio Sands. Tim Meadows.
Chris Kattan.
Jimmy Fallon.
Sorry, he doesn't want to play this game.
Chris Parnell.
Molly Shannon.
Oh my god, she's so funny in this.
Anna Gasteyer.
Also very funny in this.
Tracy Morgan. Daryl Hammond.
What's his name? What's the one from House of Lies?
Don Cheadle.
Not Don Cheadle. What's his name?
Gristlin Bell.
No, what's the name of that other... What's the movie?
Ben Schwartz?
That, no. Oh, what do I... Oh, no, it's not... What's that movie?
What are we doing?
Ringo Starr.
Who's the one... Anything. Who's the one that you like, Matt, from
Aries Spears?
I can't remember.
Give us anything.
From
Give
Pop
us...
Star Never Stop Never Stopping.
Oh, Chris Redd?
No.
Oh.
The one who's on SNL.
Tim Meadows.
Tim Meadows.
I already said Tim Meadows. I already said Tim Meadows. God damn it, man. Holy hell. Man, it's a fucking stacked cast, and they have to pick up a lot of slack. Also, musical guest, Chris Rock featuring Joey C.
Kid Rock.
Kid.
Matt, you are really bad at Chris Rock. You like to call everybody Chris Rock.
I called him Chris Rock?
Yeah.
I don't mind. I mean, that's not a racist. That means that I'm not racist about it. I just don't know who Chris Rock is.
You just think every single person is Chris Rock.
It's possible. But, okay. So, we start with the monologue, which is... We're instantly greeted by Jackie Chan in all white. Very weird all white suit.
Yeah.
He's very nervous. You could tell how nervous he is, I think, speaking English on live TV. And that's sort of what the monologue is about. And I think like what this monologue does is it does what the rest of the episode does, which is take the focus away from him. He's never the star of any of the sketches that he's in.
And he's always just kind of like saying a few words. It's like he's always like following the lead of somebody else because I think he's not super comfortable doing what he's doing, and he's just on the show for
exposure.
Yeah, exposure and trying to seem like, I don't know, get people to see other Chris Rock movies. Or I don't know how that happened, but
because I can imagine like it's uncomfortable in two ways, just him not fully understanding English, and then also the comedy on SNL is not the typical Jackie Chan comedy.
No, and this is all especially strange humor. This is
and
they always say that the SNL cast you kind of grow up with is your favorite SNL cast, and this is like my second favorite SNL cast.
Yeah.
But I also just love, I think Adam McKay is the head writer at this time. So he just has crazy shit. And like every sketch is crazy. And that's why it works. They're just the perfect cast for that kind of super semi-absurdist humor, I think. But his monologue, Jackie makes a statement of saying that he's the first martial artist to host SNL. And then we get a bunch of impressions of people saying that, no, you're wrong, Jackie Chan. I hosted SNL.
Yeah.
Well, only one of them actually says that they hosted SNL. Only Steven Seagal actually hosted SNL. And then they have, what's his name?
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, not Rob Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Mr. Saturday Night.
And then Sammo Hung, who has certainly never hosted SNL, comes. But here's my question. Do people know who Sammo Hung is at that time?
Here's where I think they do know who Sammo Hung is. And this is interesting, and this is something we might want to do in our own free time if we can find it. Sammo was the star of a show in America from 1998 to 2000 called Martial Law with Arsenio Hall.
That's what they were talking about.
I thought they were just like doing a bit.
I thought they were talking about Arsenio Hall's show, like his actual talk show. Like Sammo Hung.
No,
Sammo
Hung played a guy, I think, named Sammo Law. If my Wikipedia-ing was correct.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. That I wonder if it was sort of capitalized because of Rush Hour. They did another Wunza Chinese guy, yeah. Wunza black guy, and we do them solving mysteries together. Let me look at this cast. It's Sammo, Arsenio Hall, Tom Wright. There's no one really. Oh, Gretchen Egolf. I know that name a little bit. But no, it's a very small cast. I don't know what network this was on. But no, Sammo was like an actual guy in America that I think was partially known. So they weren't just razzing him by having Horatio Sanz play him.
Wow, there were 46 episodes of this thing.
Created by Carlton Cuse of Lost fame.
I guess, Stanley Tong helped out with it.
We gotta watch this fucking thing. If Tong's on board?
but this is after, so he failed with Mr. Magoo, and then he went to go on to make Martial Law, and then nothing until, what did he make next?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I can't remember, but he came back and made something else.
Such a
Skip Trace or something.
I'm just looking at the rest of the season for SNL, because this is the season finale, which is also kind of a crazy thing.
Yeah. It is pretty wild. Run it down, Sonny.
Okay. Some of the interesting, I'll read most of them.
Okay.
Season premiere was Jerry Seinfeld.
Whoa.
Hot
off B movie.
Episode 3 was Norm MacDonald.
Fuck yeah.
And then the musical guest was Dr. Dre with Snoop Dogg and Eminem.
I wonder what song that was.
The Seinfeld musical guest was David Bowie. Man.
That's cool.
That's good.
Damn. What a day to
Wait. Can we play a completely non Jackie Chan game and guess what they were promoting? What do you think Jerry Seinfeld was promoting in October of 1999? I actually have no idea.
Probably
SNL.
Probably Seinfeld.
I mean, Seinfeld.
Oh!
Seinfeld was still on the air, I think.
No.
Oh, yeah, no. Seinfeld
was pretty sure
over
was.
98.
This had that great sketch where Jerry Seinfeld, makes fun of how someone on the show Oz gets AIDS. They inject someone with AIDS on Oz.
Oh, fuck.
That happens on Oz. It's fucking crazy. It's, what's his name? Tio from
Christopher Maloney.
No, it's not. No. It's Tio from Breaking Bad. Mm. He gets injected with AIDS, and so his men abandon him because they think that he's gay, because they think that only gay people get AIDS. But also, straight people get AIDS from getting injected against their will.
Yeah, apparently.
don't ever stereotype someone because they could have been injected against their will.
Okay, so did the person actually inject
him
with AIDS? Like, this is, I'm about to give you AIDS.
He did it, in the middle of the hall. He kind of, pricked him
on
with an
purpose,
AIDS needle.
Or did they, inject him with something else that was, it happened to have AIDS?
No, he did it intentionally to give him AIDS.
Damn.
It's crazy.
That's super weird.
That's the show Oz.
Yeah, this is kind of what birthed modern, the golden age of television was Oz, in a big way. Okay.
So, Sonny, what did you think of this episode?
I thought it was, the three sketches I saw, it was kind of bad.
What were the three sketches that you saw?
I don't even remember. Hold on.
Did you watch the one where it was Anna Gasteyer and Sherry O'Terry?
Yes,
on the
and
couch?
He was in a blonde wig. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one was whatever.
Was whatever. None of them. I agree. There's...
I feel the one he did with Jimmy Fallon was pretty funny, I think.
Yeah. The tech one? The IT one?
Your company's computer.
Don't you think that's only funny to you because that's what you do?
Yeah, sure. And it's all,
kind of, not really.
I think he's not cut out for this. The same way he's really not cut out for this movie, The Spy Next Door, I think.
Agreed. Matt, we were just talking about the sketches that we watched from the episode, and I think Sonny and I both agree that he's not really doing good work in any of the sketches that he's in. The Anna Gasteyer and Molly Shannon skit on the couch, I used to remember, or I remember liking the "I love it,
I'm 50"
like thing when I. Yeah, it's not that good. I think it's funny still. It's not really that funny. I don't know. I wasn't really laughing at it. I didn't think it was very funny. Jackie's obviously not very good.
He does
good
do a tumble
and he's
roll.
He's not very good in the IT one either.
He does do a tumble in the first one, in the Gasteyer sketch.
He does a stunt.
Yeah. I thought I love that sketch just because she does insane things with her legs. I just think it's a fun choice that she's making. Not that the content is super funny.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
But is that what we should be celebrating? Does that
physical comedy?
That she made a fun choice?
Yes. Physical comedy.
Okay. I remember liking that skit a lot more when it was, like, in the cultural lexicon. Now that it's 15 years old, I'm just... Or 18
I mean,
years
I'm
old,
sure
I'm just like,
That's with a lot of them. Like, also in this season was the More Cowbell sketch, which...
Ooh.
I don't know if that holds up.
That's that season? I think the More Cowbell thing.
I can't say because it's just so imprinted in my mind as like an important thing. I can't speak to its like true importance or if people. It's got all the makings of great comedy. It's got Will Ferrell in too tight of a shirt and indignantly hitting a cowbell. I don't know what about that would not last. Cock of the walk, baby. Say it, baby. Say it. It's really funny.
It's a funny idea of why there's just inexplicably a loud cowbell in that song. Like, I just think that it holds up. It makes sense. It like that song is never gonna die. So as long as that song is a popular song. That skit
skit. That song was like at least 30 years old by the time that sketch had come out, so it's not as though it has now hit an expiration date.
There was a small spike in the mid-2000s when it came out on Guitar Hero.
Yeah, but this is post Guitar Hero for sure.
Yeah,
I mean pre-Guitar Hero.
Yeah,
but quite a bit. What other sketches did you guys see him do? I really do still like the computer, whatever, fixing sketch.
I thought that was pretty good.
That's the funniest I've ever found Jimmy Fallon. He's never been funny in anything else. He's funny in the Boston
Fever
guys
pitch?
Sketch.
Oh.
And he's funny when he's the college kid with Horatio Sands.
Mm.
The high guys? The two guys that are high? You don't like when Jimmy Fallon breaks every day in every skit? Except for this skit. He didn't break.
No, he didn't break.
That means it wasn't a funny skit.
I guess. I think that they break all the time now, sort of. I think that they don't... It doesn't have... Like, Pete Davidson can't do a sketch without breaking.
Oh, yeah. That dude's just high all the time. Yeah.
And same thing with, like, Leslie Jones. It's just part of their... It's because if they're not laughing, who's laughing? In my searching for Jackie Chan stuff, I found a really funny sketch from like 2 years ago or a year ago called
"I Saw
Where
that
Jackie
too.
Chan At."
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get to watch it,
but
I
wanted.
It's
super weird. That's definitely the last sketch of the night. There's no way that was like nothing but 12:50. We'll talk about that in the next episode, full episode of Where Jackie Chan At. What was the other sketch that he was in that you guys were able to see? It was monologue and the... Oh, that was probably it.
Yeah, that was all. I watched the Tim Meadows one where it was the ladies' man, just because.
The skank yeah. of the summer. I watched that. I thought Jackie was going to be in it. And
it's Gershon and Super Weird Cats. Gersh, the Gell, Sarah Michelle Gellar, and the mom from the Brady Bunch.
Florence Henderson.
Looks a lot like Hillary Clinton.
Hmm.
And then I also watched the one Bobby Knight. I don't know who that is. He's
Indiana
basketball coach or
yeah.
something.
Mm. Notorious for abusing players.
Yeah, I didn't get it. It was not a skit for me.
I guess not. Here are the other ones that Jackie did, and I'll give a little rundown of it, because some of them are crazier than others. Jackie Chan was in a sketch with Shuri Otari and Chris Kattan when they were that super sexual couple that was always hyping themselves up in these mundane things. I don't know if you guys remember that. They're playing mini golf. It's Jackie Chan and Molly Shannon are a couple. He's with Molly Shannon a lot in this episode for whatever reason. Maybe she just really likes him. But they're playing mini golf and Jackie just really wants to play, and Shuri Otari and Chris Kattan are like essentially playing like a weird sexual game with each other where Shuri Otari misses a punch. She's like, oh damn it, I suck at this. I suck so much. I blow at this. Kattan's like, oh, you blow at it? You suck at this? What else do you suck at? She's like, oh, you want to know, don't you? It just continues to escalate.
Jackie
doesn't really do anything. Molly Shannon tries to get in on it, and Jackie Chan wants none of it. Then we get Legends in Concert, which is actually very funny. I thought it was very, very funny and weird, which is Will Ferrell and I think Anna Gasteyer are out at like a Vegas night where they go to see famous impersonators doing musicians. And they're saying, we're going to have a world famous, the greatest Elvis impersonator of all time. And it's Jackie Chan as Elvis. Comes out like Elvis is like a gold slip suit. And Will Ferrell's like, it's obvious it's like Jackie Chan is butchering it. But he does sing, and he sings pretty well. And at one...
It's just not Elvis quality.
He sings Elvis songs?
Yes, he does. And I think the humor is that it's like this Asian person is playing Elvis, and these people paid for the greatest Elvis impersonator there is. And at one point, he kisses Anna Gasteyer on the head, which is super strange. Like in singing I Can't Help Falling in Love with You. He like gives her a kiss on the head very loudly. To which Will Ferrell says, hey buddy, who told you could kiss my wife's head? And what is one of the weirdest things about any Jackie Chan thing I've seen, he goes, I'm sorry. It's like, I'm clearly not an impersonator. I'm a waiter. And then everyone goes, just waiting for him to continue talking. And he goes, I was born in China. My name was Chan Kong Sang, which is his real name.
Yes.
Chan Kong Sang. And my father, under communism, was arrested by the police, which like also fucking happened.
Yeah.
And he goes, and when he left, he sang this song, and it was an Elvis song. And then everybody was like in on it. It's like a super weird fucking bit. It didn't really make a lot of sense. Jackie did a fine job. It was the only sketch that I thought was funny, and he was in on the joke. This is the worst our podcast's ever been, right?
We did a whole episode of Jack Off, so I don't know about that.
Then we get Kid Rock.
Kid Rock. What songs did he do?
He did American Badass, and then Only
Cowboy?
God Knows Why. And then we got a very funny conceptual sketch that was definitely an Adam McKay special, where Will Ferrell is digging a hole to China. He's like, he's just like talking to himself. He's like, man, who said you couldn't do it? You're the greatest digger alive. You're showing them. You're digging a hole all the way to China. And then all of a sudden, in the crater that he's built, a wall falls down and Jackie Chan comes out. And he's like, what are you doing in my hole to America? He goes, no, this is my hole to China. You get out of here. You don't deserve this. And they're arguing. Chris Parnell comes in as a French guy. It's like he's digging a hole to the other side of the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, God.
Like, why do you want to do that? He says, I have my reasons. Then young Tracy Morgan comes saying that he's from Ghana trying to build a tunnel, I think, to Sudan. Somehow, either way, it ends up becoming a 3-minute song about how they're the greatest diggers on Earth. it's super odd. Then the show ends. I give this, Jackie Chan literally doesn't want any trouble in any sketch he's in. He gets zero Jackie Chan wants any troubles out of 5. And I give his performance on SNL probably the worst I've ever seen someone host the show, strictly because I think of the language barrier and he didn't really understand the humor. He was just doing it because it was a gig.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's what a weird way to kind of show goodwill. And it's one thing to, like, no publicity is bad publicity, but like as a comedian going onto a show and then like bombing, it doesn't really make people want to see your comedy. No, movie.
Well, so it's also like Jackie Chan didn't grow up with SNL being the institution that it is here. Like, he doesn't know what it is.
No, I don't think he I bet his manager told him.
I'm not saying that that's Jackie's fault. It's not Jackie's fault that he did a bad job. I don't think he could have
done a good
job.
Right, he wasn't set up to succeed here.
No.
But that's just an unfortunate thing for him. I don't think it was to his benefit that he was in.
One thing that I will say about this episode that is not Jackie Chan related, this episode, in a terrible, terrible episode of SNL, like a largely bad episode, it is obvious that Will Ferrell is a massive star in the making. Like, in every sketch he's in, he is hysterical in doing the small... Even as him as Steven Seagal, I found really funny how he walks in doing his hand things and doing a half-hearted impression. I thought he was hysterical.
Chris Kattan, not so much.
I've seen Chris Kattan 2 times in my life, and each time he was acting like Chris Kattan, like you would expect him to be acting.
That's nice. I'm glad Chris Kattan is really
He's
Chris Kattan.
A wild card, like playing around in Dwayne Reed's. Oh, line of the episode, and I kind of alluded to it. At a certain point, all 5 people in that hole are arguing with each other. They're like coming to terms, and Will Ferrell goes, "Gentlemen, please. We've all dug great holes. I might have to say, we are the greatest collection of diggers the world has ever known. That should be applauded." I don't know why comedy can't be this way. Like, why it can't be complete nonsense. Gentlemen, please. Okay. Should we talk about the movie now? Because we all did watch that.
Let's go into the movie.
Yeah, we should. So starting off, do I have to do the thing where I have to talk about this movie?
Yeah,
no,
give us a synopsis.
It's what we do.
I think it's an easy one.
It's pretty simple.
Okay. An undercover Chinese spy finds himself in love with a woman with baggage. That baggage is really...
I mean, the synopsis is an M dash.
Okay.
It's got a dash.
That baggage is 3 kids who are more trouble than one's more trouble than the next.
Oh no.
In trying to
Jordan, I was just going to say, you 100% like perform down to your opponent, in which the easier it should be, the worse you do, and the harder it is, I feel you do better.
Yeah.
You play to the competition.
I don't know how. I just don't like this movie is just nonsense. And then in trying to foil a Russian plot, I guess I won't spoil it.
We only spoil. We have a complete spoiler policy.
No, I mean I won't spoil it in the synopsis.
Oh, because it's gonna go on IMDb.
Yeah. In trying to foil a Russian plot, Jackie finds himself in a whole lot of trouble.
The end. Period.
The end.
That's one of the worst I've seen you do. That was so bad, Jordan.
Yeah, that was.
I don't know how
sweaty.
They're not. Okay. So the
I think this movie is like this movie's bad for sure, but I don't think it's nonsense. It's like
it's for children. It's a children's
par movie. Par for the course. Bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. I agree. It's just hard to put those into words. Like in a three sentence. There's a lot going on.
Here's
in
what
this
we
movie.
Here's how we're going to do it. Jackie, okay. Oh, it's really hard. Actually, I'm thinking about it. Okay, a Chinese spy on loan to the CIA is stationed in, is it Arizona?
I don't.
In Southwest America.
Sure.
Undercover as a mild-mannered, whatever, telephone salesman, he falls in love.
Pen and Porter.
He falls in love with a local artist, though her children despise him. When his girlfriend goes away on vacation, he decides to watch the children. But little does he know, Russian bad boys want to kill him.
Are about to make things.
That's better! Good punch up!
Yeah.
Because this movie is not interesting.
This movie starts off with a montage of Jackie Chan scenes.
Super strange.
Yeah,
from his
other
movies.
So are we supposed to believe in this universe that all of those things happened? But they all really happened to
Well, they're
Jackie
all
Chan.
Like alternate personalities of this Bob Ho character.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's the joke at the end of the movie. Oh, I get it.
What?
I don't
what
get
joke?
It. What joke?
So I'll skip to it. At the end of the movie, when they're getting married, she's just like, "Do you, Jillian, take Bob Ho to be your lovely?" And he's just like, "I have one more thing to tell you. Bob Ho's not my real name." And she's just like, "Oh, I don't care." But then he never says what his actual name
is.
So maybe you're supposed to believe it's just all of the
detective Are you people. Telling me that Bob Ho, that this might be like the Dark Tower of the Jackie Chan universe?
The JCEU.
Yeah.
The Jackie Chan extended. Why has it taken us like 40 episodes to have a Jackie Chan extended universe concept? That is a hysterical concept, Jordan, and I love it.
It's heavily implied by this movie's opening montage.
And the ending.
I guess.
This movie is the bookends of the JCEU.
Thank God Jackie Chan made The Foreigner after this. Because if I didn't know that he could be in a good movie, I would think his career was completely done. If I didn't know good shit came after this, I would say we end the podcast. Because it's...
Oh, man.
Was this 2000... What year was this? Was this 2010?
This is 2010, yeah.
This movie is, like, very early. It feels very 2005.
Yeah.
For 2010.
This movie is during a time period where America, and me specifically... had no respect.
Thanks, Obama.
I don't know if, like, I even had Jackie Chan in my mind for any reason during this time. I think he was just, like, a figurehead. I wouldn't have felt either way about him. If anything, he was probably, like, put on a pedestal from the Rush Hours.
But if you told me, like, I would be a person who would say, "Oh, I love Jackie Chan." But if you told me, "Oh, let's watch a Jackie Chan movie that came out in theaters," I would never see a Jackie Chan movie that came out in theaters.
Sure.
The only movie that I would have gone and seen, which I didn't, just because of bad timing. But I really wanted to see The Foreigner in theaters because it looked really cool and gritty. But during that time period, I had no interest in seeing Jackie Chan movies in theaters.
Can I say something that maybe we haven't touched upon that feel free to disagree? I think the fact that Jackie Chan did completely sort of disappear for a little while, as where Jackie Chan at alludes to, might be why he has a sort of mythologized thing in our minds where he stopped taking those big swings in America.
Yeah.
Like, because he was failing at every turn with those swings. The last big swing was Rush Hour 3, and that wasn't a big success. And I think I think people didn't see Rush Hour 3 because they kind of went, enough, I get it. He's not like a good actor. I get it. Like his fun has worn off. Now, I don't know, 10 years from Rush Hour, he hasn't been in a ton of American movies. And I think some people are seeing him almost as a nostalgia act that they have reverence for because they respect his hustle.
Right. Well, I think something that's fascinating about this movie is that it would be a lot worse without Jackie Chan. Like, I kind of give it credit for casting him in this super weird role because even though he's bad in it, I think he's the only, X factor that would make a plot like this interesting. But that's also to its, detraction where Jackie Chan isn't a plug-and-play action star. Like, you have to tailor a movie around him. Which is why none of the dialogue in this movie works.
You really think that this movie could... I agree with you. This movie would be completely tailored to somebody else. But you don't think that this movie could have been a Rock vehicle
instead?
I think
if this movie was, with The Rock, it would have been what you expect, which is fine, but that then it wouldn't be interesting.
It would be a lot of jokes about how masculine The Rock is, and he has to deal with these kids. But that's a pacifier,
right? The pacifier. And this movie, there are scenes that there are standard, action rom-com scenes that are interesting just because the protagonist is Jackie Chan and he's doing these things that would typically you wouldn't see an Asian American do in this specific role, like wear these nerdy sweater vests and these glasses and just be a Ned Flanders character, right? Without having it be he does karate and kung fu and stunts in this movie, but that's not the focal point of this character.
So if it was anybody else, it would look
silly.
If it was The Rock as...
If it was anybody else, it would just be the pacifier, which is a rote by the books farcical sort of movie.
This has a very long IMDb trivia page. I feel like I thought there would be nothing, but I feel like we could have gleaned something from it if we had read it previously.
Oh, you want to know some interesting trivia about this movie? You really like Mad
Love
Men,
Mad
right?
Men.
Did you watch Glow? Oh, you know that guy who's in Mad Men? I don't know
Harry
his
Crane.
Name. Yeah. He's also on. He's also on Glow.
Rich Summers.
He's actually the little kid.
What?
God damn it, Jordan.
He's the...
What?
I looked at that kid, the boy. He looks so much like a young version of...
Young Sheldon.
His name is...
I thought he looked like a character, one of the adult characters in the Amanda Bynes show.
Don't talk about him.
Why?
Don't talk about him.
Is that Dan Schneider?
Because he's... Yeah, he's the... Wait,
oh,
Matt,
the,
he's
the producer who is a weird, freaky pedophile.
Yeah.
It's not Dan Schneider.
I don't think that's who you're thinking of, though.
That's not who I'm thinking of. That's not it, Jordan.
Okay.
I don't know. This guy is familiar to me in some... This little boy looks like an old man in some way.
The boy is good.
This little boy looks like an old man.
Probably the best child.
Why do you think Jackie took a movie like this? Was it just the payday? Like, I can't wrap my head around why he would do this over making probably a little bit more money and doing, like, a movie in Asia that would get him more renown.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think he was trying to first, he was trying to set up his comeback. I'll make a little kid's movie. They'll all see it when they're 10 or 9 or 11.
Never
and
forget.
Then, boom, 8 years later, I'll make The Foreigner. And then they'll be like, oh, Jackie Chan, I saw this movie when I was 10. Now I'm 18. I'm a big boy.
I'm a big boy. Oh, man. I don't know. Maybe.
Jackie plays... He plays the long card. He plays the long con.
Something tells me he doesn't. Because he's had a lot of miscues. Though we do obviously love him. I don't know. Apparently people were really excited to work with him when he signed onto this movie. I think he was a plug-and-play addition. Like, kind of what Sonny said. And that's why this movie doesn't work super well.
Yeah.
But it attracted, like... big names like George Lopez and
Billy Ray Cyrus.
They're literally the two. They're the only two people who are anything in this movie. Everyone else is just like a nothing human.
Like you mean the actors?
Yeah, I've never seen any of these people in my life.
The Russian woman is from Iceland.
Maybe the pedophile.
The little boy you're calling a pedophile?
Oh no! He's talking about the teen Russian spy.
The college Lucas student Till. One who's
he's in
True Blood.
He's in I think he's in X-Men First Class. He plays Havoc.
Is that a flight attendant?
Havoc.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's why he's the one who shoots the
time out
stuff.
Time out. Mm-hmm. Was there an episode? Was there like a Funny or Die sketch that was like X-Men business class and like X-Men coach? I'm gonna look this up.
I don't think so. Too bad, missed out. That joke is 6 years
so
old.
So it's right on time for me to write a sketch about it. X-Men economy. Let's see. No. Yes! There is! It's exactly what I said it was. X-Men economy class. When did it come out? 2014. So I'm only 4 years late.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. You learn a lot from the Chance Plating podcast.
No, but he's the only other person in this movie who's done anything else. Everyone else in this movie is just kind of like...
They're not names.
I really thought Billy Ray Cyrus was going to be a rogue agent. I thought he was going to be the spy. They did a good job of making him the Red Baron.
I guess. I don't know. I think Billy Ray Cyrus needs the career boost so he can't subvert the expectations. Like George Lopez at this point is a huge... Actually, in 2010, George Lopez is a huge star. Like, he's a big fucking name in 2010. Yeah. He's got the George Lopez show. People still like George Lopez a lot. I don't know if anyone cares for Billy Ray Cyrus.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
That was a good year for him, though. That's like Hannah Montana in doing real well.
Yeah.
So that's actually a pretty good time.
Is he in Hannah Montana?
Probably.
Is he your dad?
Yeah, he's...
Oh,
he's
I never
the
saw
dad.
It. So I don't know.
He's, he also has a role in Mulholland Drive.
Is he the monster?
He's Mulholland Drive.
He's
He's the...
There sweet. Should be a wrestler that's an LA guy and their finisher is the Mulholland Driver.
The Mulholland pile
That should have
driver.
Been Hollywood Hulk Hogan's finishing move, was the Mulholland Driver.
Driver.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. We're all over the place today. It's hard to talk about this. It's always so hard to talk about these movies, but this movie was comprehensible. It was just very bad. And even for children's movies, I don't think it was particularly good.
So whoever wrote this movie, though, I think they have a very similar idea of who Jackie Chan is. Because they had Jackie Chan in the movie say, "I don't want any trouble."
Sure.
This is one of two movies where Jackie literally says he doesn't
want any trouble. That we've encountered. There's a good chance that he said it before.
But they have to be post Rush
Hour. I'm just saying.
But I'm sure it's not going to turn into like the Jackie Chan. I've got a bad feeling about this. It's
probably gross. This movie was written by 5 people. This was completely a movie that they said, "Okay, we're just gonna do this, and we'll figure it out." Like this was probably like a day of submitting script.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sure that's what happened with SNL too.
Oh well, that's how SNL always works. That's like the only way it works.
Well, usually they have the whole week, right? Like, from what I understand,
they have the whole week done on Friday usually, and then they will do a rehearsal, I think, Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon, and then they figure out what they're going to do. And sometimes add sketches. My God.
Wait. So why do you think they have in that whole thing about Jackie doesn't know what Halloween is? Do you think that was helpful?
Yeah, it's probably just like a character.
Like, I don't know. It just seemed like a weird thing. That Like, really explain
if
it.
If he's on loan from the Chinese Secret Service or whatever, then he doesn't know anything about American customs.
Is there no Halloween in China? Like, I assume not.
But he went with her to the store and was like, "Oh, do you want to be a zombie? Do you want to be a Frankenstein?" He knows
these monsters.
These cultural norms. He knows what monsters are, and then she's like, "No, I want to be a princess." He sees the other children dressed in costumes, and then at the end of the movie, they go to the street. There's kids all over in costumes, and he's just like, "What is this?" And they're just like, "This is Halloween." Like, he doesn't have enough context clues to know that this is what they were preparing for.
I guess.
I don't know.
It seems like a weird... Like, there's a lot of, like, things in this movie that are, like, Jackie Chan is an outsider, and they are weird.
I mean, I don't think they're choices. It's just a poorly written children's movie. Like, I don't think any of them are choices.
Also, why in 2010 does everybody care about bootleg
CDs?
live concert recordings? Like, why is that, like, why does that give you, like, social clout or, like stature?
I don't know.
Dealing in concerts
know.
To fake bands.
I don't know.
Kids are just trying to be cool.
We do actually, I guess, have to occasionally talk about the movie, but can we punch up this movie for a second?
Yeah, go for
it. I had two things that I thought would have made this a better movie. One is with the teenage girl, if her actual weird dad was involved in the movie to some extent, because they spent a lot of time making sure that she is decidedly not one of not blood siblings with her two other kids. If he had shown up and she's like, "My dad's the best," and then he's the opposite of Jackie Chan, like he's a motorcycle driving guy, and then Jackie Chan actually beats him up because he's a deadbeat dad, I think that would have been cool.
I think that happens in another movie.
Happens in Daddy's Home.
Oh, I wasn't thinking of that movie. I was thinking of a different movie something similar happens. I can't think of what.
Second
it is,
thing that would be great and would never be done, and it's probably not good for me to say. When Jackie's teaching the little boy how to be cool, if instead of like him just being wrong about what being cool is, like popping the collar and having the music, if he just teaches him how to be a Chinese person instead. Like, if he's just like this is what's cool. Like,
if he just starts shoving Chinese culture down their throats.
Yeah, like, he said, like, he only would know what was cool in China. So he starts showing him the very famous Chinese cultural traits. So he wears his hair in a way that's more popular in China. He starts wearing Chinese clothes. He has, like...
Well,
Well, he listens to Chinese music.
A really cool, interesting, like, character moment would have been him introducing the, like, the red envelopes to the kids and then just giving them each money.
I don't know what you're speaking about, Sonny.
Oh, so...
Oh, you don't know about the red envelopes?
It's like a thing that is big in Chinese culture where they... Families during big, I guess, occasions will give money to children in these little red envelopes. And they're, like, embossed with, like, gold lettering.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I got one when I used to do delivery. It was awesome.
You got it from Jade Empire? What was it?
That's a video game.
Yeah, Jade Dynasty.
Jade Did it Dynasty. Say inside, here's a tip, get a watch. Time to
no,
get a
it had
watch.
$5 in it. It was great. One of my coworkers gave it to me during the Chinese New Year.
Yeah.
It oh, that's awesome. Cool, Jordan. Cool. I had you heard about it before that?
Maybe in a movie I had seen it, but I had never had any sort of actual real world exposure.
It's supposed to be like for luck and to ward off evil spirits or whatever.
I kept the money for a long time. I thought you were not supposed to actually use the money. I thought you were supposed to keep it in the envelope and stuff for good luck or something. But then I needed the money a little bit a few months later. So I was
I always spent it immediately. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why you give money to not spend.
Yeah.
Well, the envelope. I really like the envelope.
Yeah,
I thought
envelope
was really
cool.
And I thought it was a really nice gesture. Maybe if I knew I was going to get more envelopes, I would be oh, this is I like the money part, but I like the whole all of it. And I was okay with not having the $5 to keep it intact. But then when I needed the money, I was screw that.
I got to buy some magic cards.
Probably.
Wait, so do you guys not think this movie would be really funny if this little kid gets progressively more Chinese?
I think that would be really funny.
Well, I think that is this movie. He gets more and more he gets inspired by Bob Ho to become a spy.
Right.
He doesn't get inspired by him to become Chinese.
I think that'd be great. Yeah,
that makes thematic sense too, because he seems to need a male role model, so who better than Jackie Chan?
I mean, Bob Ho seems like a decent guy. He works at the CIA, so he's bringing home at least $80,000 a year.
A lot of gaps in his backstory, though.
A lot of confusing gaps.
Wait, but doesn't he have to go back?
Well, no, he's retired.
He retired.
But, so the Chinese
they don't need him back.
Government... that is allowed to loan him out to the CIA. They're just oh,
is this a
retire.
Real thing also? We've seen it in a few movies where they just loan out agents to different countries.
I'm sure.
For no reason.
So if I really wanted to manufacture a reasoning behind it, it would be that Bob Ho is a specialty on Russian terrorism and the Chinese... And the Americans knew that, so they were I bet we're going to have some Russian terrorists soon.
In the next 10 years.
Yeah,
well, no, he was there specifically for that one bad guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Anton Poldark.
I don't think they don't explicitly say that, but I think it's implied that because when they take him in, they're just oh, you want to stay? And he's no, this was my last mission. So it's that one guy they were staking out and brought Bob Ho in to deal
with. Okay, idea for a sequel of this movie. You're both going to love it. Bob Ho thinks that he's retired when he's he's even impregnated this woman. She's got a new baby or she's pregnant. That his kids all love him. When he finds out he has to go on a business trip. And they go, oh, well, can you tell us where you're going? He says, no, I can't tell you where I'm going. He has to go to Afghanistan to catch Osama bin Laden. He teams up with Jessica Chastain's character in Zero Dark Thirty to catch Osama bin Laden.
Oh, wait, what am I supposed to say? Am I supposed to say, is this believable? Is this something I would want?
So he's also a Middle Eastern terrorist specialist.
He's clearly like 60 years old. He probably has done a lot of things. Yeah. He's probably been in the CIA for Desert Storm, but like been involved in a number of foreign affairs, and now they're going to use Bob Ho's expertise to catch Osama bin Laden.
Yo, by the way, these terrorists, bad guys, they're like the biggest assholes in the
world.
Go on. Like, they come up with this technology that literally, like, destroys plastics. If they manufacture that, they could, like, save the environment. You could introduce that to the ocean, and you could destroy polluting, like, plastics that are throughout the ocean. You could do wonders for the world, and you're gonna use it to like just destroy most of the world's oil supply for like almost no reason.
That stuff is actually real. Like they use that to clean up oil spills. It just doesn't work at scale. Like it should.
You know who could? You know who could really use that? The thing that destroys the plastics.
Who?
Lindsay Lohan and Mean Girls.
God damn it.
Oh my god. Oh, I'm crying a little bit. I had that queued up for 45 seconds.
You were holding it in. It was bursting out of you.
How long did you have that?
I'm sorry, guys. I thought that was the funniest I've ever been. Sorry. Okay. But no, Jordan, they're really bad Russian terror. They remind me of Rocky and Bullwinkle's villains.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought the same exact thing. They had a very Natasha
Bedingfield. Oh.
And Boris, yeah.
Yeah, it was a very Natasha Bedingfield kind of quality to them. That woman's Russian accent is
bad.
Super fun. It's very bad. That woman's Icelandic, but I found it really fun. It's so cartoony. It's so crazy. I didn't know why they sexualized her in a children's movie because her titties are on big display.
Yeah,
didn't think it was necessary. It's something for daddy. And I don't need something for daddy when I'm watching this movie. I need something for Jackie, which is a better script and better stunts.
Better everything.
Oh, man, the plastics. That's great. I can't wait to tell Raya that when we're done recording. She will laugh.
Did you enjoy any of the, like, stunts? Like, they did the mall stunt. Did you enjoy it? They were like, we've seen the Rush Hour movies. Jackie loves to swing on oddly placed banners, and he likes to swing down on them. And, like, they were just like, okay, Jackie's going to do it again. And then he did it again.
The IMDb trivia says that the U.S. stunt coordination team teamed up with Jackie Chan's team to design a lot of the stunts. I think that there were some actual scenes when Jackie was fighting that were not bad. They were not terrible, and there was decent action in each take.
Yeah.
He said that he was trying to actually think about what Bob Ho would be capable of doing. I think that's bullshit. I think he just didn't want to bust his ass for this children's movie.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, like, it wasn't shot. Like, those scenes that are cool weren't shot like normal Jackie Chan movies. There's still a lot of cutting.
Yeah.
But he does very Jackie-ish stunts.
This movie is so bright. Like, how children's movies are bright, so all the colors are very vibrant, so kids are just super into it. It's a weird... Should we talk about these kids?
Yeah.
How can I save these kids?
So we have the 13-year-old who dresses like
it's a Meadow sketch from earlier this episode.
To quote a Chewy commercial from the early 1990s. A Chewy, the granola bar. She dresses like a real floozy.
Wait, what? What are you talking about?
What is...
Who? What?
What's this Chewy commercial you're talking about?
In the Chewy commercial, they say there's a little kid and he's talking. It's like all these little kids and they're like saying stuff. They're just like, my mom goes on dates with other men. It's just like, my sister dresses like a floozy. And, like, it's just, like, keep them
quiet.
Wow,
that seems...
Give them Chewy bar.
Extremely sexist for a Chewy commercial.
Shut up, your kids. Have them eat these carbs.
Yeah, that's what the Chewy commercial was. That I still... But at the beginning, she's always... She wears a lot of short clothing, and she is, like, a 13-year-old girl who calls her mom
Well,
Jillian,
she's not her mom.
And
that's
Well, when we first meet her, we're led to believe that she's just calling her Jillian just to be like that person. Just to tear
Do you
away
do you
her,
guys call your
her.
Parents by their first names? I sometimes do.
No, I don't.
I call
No.
I call my mommy Melody sometimes. Hmm. Or definitely if I'm speaking about her to other people, I'll say Melody is this.
Maybe one day, like a year and a half ago, I was like, you know what? I'm at an age, like, it's weird to call them mom and dad. Like, maybe I should call them Marlene.
No, I don't think
David.
It's ever weird.
And then I was like, this is weird. And then now
I
still
don't know
call
if you say it to. I don't usually call my mom Melody to her face. Maybe if I'm making, like, a silly joke about music.
Yeah,
I guess.
I just like there's nobody I would ever call them David to. Like I would never be like, oh, David over here.
Know. Whatever. Like, so this teen girl is going through issues. I get it. Her backstory is kind of, she's going through teen issues. She wants to wear little clothing. Her mom says, no, you gotta wear potato sack. To
more
gotta
clothing.
Wear more clothing. Yeah. She goes, you suck. Suck a dick.
Yeah.
You're not my real mom. I assume her mom bought her those clothes. I guess this is a problem that daughters have with their mothers. I don't know. I never wore anything inappropriate to school.
Yeah. I don't know.
I did.
Well,
what was it?
I didn't get in trouble, actually, but I wore a shirt that said Sex, Drugs, and Dungeons and Dragons. In high school, and my do you remember Mel Sonny?
Diaz? Oh boy.
I wasn't gonna say his last name, but so Mel, a week before, was wearing like a shirt that had something sexual about women on it, and he got detention for it. And then a week later, I wore the same shirt to class.
Wait, the same shirt as him or the Dungeons & Dragons? Okay.
No, I wore the Sex, Drugs, and Dungeons & Dragons one. And he was like, to the teacher, he was like, hey, he's allowed to wear that, but I'm not allowed to wear, like, what I was wearing last week. I did, and the teacher was just like, come on, it's like a...
Like a bit.
It's, like, inappropriate, but in...
Come on.
In, like, it's like a bit.
Come
it's
on.
Not real.
Jordan, they also knew you wouldn't survive detention.
Yeah.
You got in trouble at work for wearing that Proud Boys Make Some Noise shirt. What happened with that?
Very true, yeah. I was always wearing it.
He just wanted people to know he was a very proud boy.
I was a proud boy.
It's an interesting shirt because it's BOYZ and NOYZ. It's an interesting shirt, but I don't think it's work appropriate, but I don't want to get you started on it.
Probably
you,
not.
When you get started, you can't stop it. We have to wrap this up sooner than later.
Should we talk about how, I don't know, this is a tangent from the movie, but now that you're talking about this, do we have any more information on, like, the Nazi
situation? No, none has happened yet. I think it's, like, it's just somebody crashed a fucking plane with, like, the Red Baron logo or whatever. I don't even think it's a Nazi. Is it even a Nazi plane? It's, like, an old German model plane.
Yeah, it might have been I don't know.
Wouldn't it be great if it was Harrison Ford? Because I know he's always flying his planes. It's just some rich asshole, probably, from Beverly Hills who crashed his plane on the... 101.
Yeah.
Fucked up Rhea's commute home. Not good. Very bad.
Takes a lot of clean up planes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that daughter is rebelling against her mom because her dad was married to her first mom, her real mom. They got a divorce or her mom died? She died. That's she sad. Died. Rip her mom, who bought her all those tiny outfits.
Yeah.
Then his dad very quickly married this woman. I don't know her name. She paints.
Gillian.
Gone Girl.
Gillian.
Yeah. Marries Gone Girl. And then leaves her, impregnates her. They have like a 4-year-old child, leaves. Did he also make the boy?
No.
Yeah, no. He made both of the children.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, yeah. He made all of the children, but with different moms.
Is that Jillian's first husband?
Yes.
Okay, yes. So they're all biologically related. They're all half-siblings. Right.
They're all half-sibling. No.
The two youngest are direct siblings. Yes.
Full sib.
Yes, yes. And then he leaves, and then he leaves the mom with just the three of the children. One who's a half-sibling. Yeah. Not her. She's the stepmom, even though she's no longer married to the dad. And then they're a family unit.
This happens so fast. Like, this is a crazy, ordinary people-esque drama that we didn't get to see. Also, it's sad that the most complicated thing in the spy movie is what this father did to this family.
Yeah.
And how he left and never came back, and the daughter thing. The daughter says, he'll come back for me. I know he will. He's cool.
Yeah.
He's cool. He's nice. He loves me.
Yo, you want to know what's crazy? At the beginning of this movie, we find out that Bob Ho and Jillian have been dating for 3 months.
That's really...
And by the end of this movie, they're like, I want to marry you. They're like... They actually wanted to marry each other before the events of this movie. Why are these people getting married after dating for 3 months?
How long did your parents date before they got married, Jordan?
6 months, but
that worked out better.
That was
than
a
I
different
thought.
Time.
Yeah.
But that was a different time, and they didn't have children together. They were like young people, and my dad was from a different
country. Jackie Chan.
And
yeah,
possibly.
When you,
oh, and, I guess that's true. And, I didn't think about that.
When you
that.
Have children, you gotta just not care about what they think and make life-changing decisions.
But my parents got married after 6 months, and then they were married for 5 years before they had my brother.
Mm.
So,
your dad shooting blanks?
Like, they got married
Your
early.
Dad shooting blanks?
What? Yeah, exactly.
Just shooting out air.
Yep.
Like an empty super soaker, making that noise.
I just think it's so weird that they've been dating for 3 months and they want to get married. They probably have only been having sex for like... a month and a half.
Maybe. Yeah,
maybe.
And he's old. But I think old people do stuff faster. What else are you going to do?
I don't know. Take longer to decide you want to marry somebody.
I mean, I obviously agree. I think that no one should get married, let alone get married in 3 months. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
If you're not married within the first 3 months, don't get married. That's what I'm saying. They're not right for you. Deal with the stuff about filing separate tax returns and shit. I don't know. This whole movie's weird. Should we rate it? I feel like I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, me neither.
This movie fucking sucks. Even for children's movies.
I will say this movie is not the worst.
It absolutely
movie that
is not, and that's
now.
A tragedy.
Yeah.
That's like so sad. Like I was thinking about it, and I'm just like, this movie's not very good, but we've watched so
is
many
Is the worst
worse
movie
movies,
we saw the and... like the softcore porn Jackie Chan was in? Yeah.
Probably.
That was incoherent and like fucking crazy.
That movie is probably the worst movie we've ever watched, but I think this movie is better than a lot of other movies that we've watched as well. This movie is definitely better than Miracles. Definitely better than The Medallion. Maybe better than The Prisoner. Island of Fire.
Yeah.
Probably worse than Island of Fire.
All right. Jordan, what's your rank? He wants, like, no trouble in this whole movie. So, yeah. Zero at...
He wants no trouble. It, obviously, zero obviously out of zero to five troubles he wants. No, no, no. I mean, for troubles he wants. This movie gets a one.
You think so?
Like,
really?
It's real...
No, 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 no. If you say one, it's a one.
1.5? I think it's a one. It's just, like, I don't know. Jackie is not doing a good job. He, like... They make a lot of weird choices that aren't very good. George Lopez isn't good in it.
They were both nominated for Razzies, by the by.
Lopez and
yeah, they should have.
George Lopez.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And no one is doing a good job in this movie. Even the kid who's like a weirdly hitting on a 13-year-old.
That is strange.
And Jackie like tells him, like, it's like two. I got two words for you. 13, and then like he goes away in a dejected way, like, and you're supposed to be like, oh,
well, in retrospect he's dejected because he can't kill Jackie Chan,
but he shows up at the table again and Jackie's not like, get out of here immediately. He's like, let's see what's happening, let's see what's going on with this.
There's also an absolutely bananas line reading from I think George Lopez, where, like, apropos of very little, I mean, it makes sense in the context, but it's still a silly line.
Is it when he says he's got to kill the kids?
No, no, it's before that. It's when he says, spying is easy, parenting is hard.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, it's as if that's supposed to be a mic drop. And then leaves.
That's the tag. I bet that's the fucking tagline to this movie.
That probably is the tagline for the movie.
I'm looking it up. I don't know where to find
it. I also give it a one. A one. Don't want any trouble.
Oh, wait. Let's see what the... No, it says part spy, part babysitter, all hero.
Oh.
Also, this Jackie Chan picture is very clearly a very bad photoshopped job of his head being cut off and put onto a body. Maybe even Chris Tucker's body.
What?
You should look at it on IMDb. Oh, yeah, we should also mention there's like a pet pig that doesn't really come into play at all.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. I forgot about that.
They show it in the first scene, and then they make a joke about it later in the movie, and it never comes into play. It all doesn't
make
any sense.
Here comes Daddy Matt to fuck up the ratings. You both gave it a one?
Yeah.
This is chill. I'm keeping everything into consideration. I did not enjoy this movie. I didn't laugh at this movie. I laughed at Billy Ray Cyrus's hair a lot. That guy's fucking weird. I laughed at the Russian woman. Her accent was funny. Jackie was bad. Kids were bad. But it's a children's movie. And if I was a child, would I like this movie?
Probably.
No. I don't know. Maybe. Probably. I mean, in that case, everything's... If I'm like 2 years old, I'm going to give this 5 stars.
You'd like everything.
Because 2-year-olds love anything. No.
Oh my.
I'm going to say that I'm 10 years old. I don't really know who Jackie Chan is. It's not that funny. It's something that my little siblings probably want to watch, and I don't really want to watch it, but there's still kung fu in it. Maybe like a 1.5.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's better than hanging out with, I don't know, my math teacher. To each his or her own, though. And in this situation, I'm a woman. In this hypothetical, my character's a girl. I bet you didn't see that coming.
Oh, got him. I'd rather hang out with my math teacher, to be honest.
Oh, was it the teacher from Good Will Hunting?
No.
It's not the guy from Good Will Hunting who has a genius grant? Okay, that's fine.
Will?
Not Will.
Will?
Stellan Skarsgård.
Yeah.
All right, Jordan, what does that equal out to? Like 1.15, 1.2, 0?
It's a
1.19.
I just saw it. It's 1.16667.
So 1.16.
Okay.
Yeah, 1.17.
Okay. Yeah, it's a bad movie. You can watch it. It's on HBO.
Yeah, it's
like
free.
If you want to.
Put it on for
I had to
kids.
Pay for this movie.
You don't have HBO Go, Jordan?
I forgot the password, and I couldn't get into it, so I spent $4 to watch this movie.
That's
on
fine.
YouTube.
I bought the last movie we watched, because I rented it on Vudu. It didn't work, and I went, fuck this. I just gotta watch this movie. So I bought it on Amazon for like $8.99. I've been watching it every day to get my money's worth. I've been watching it 4 times a day, and I'm halfway there now.
Do you know about something called the sunk cost fallacy?
No.
It's about ships.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, it's about ships. Okay, let's jack off, Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
It's me versus you.
Okay.
I'm excited.
I didn't think up the clues ahead of time, but I have all the things.
That's
so I'm going to figure
that's
it
fine.
Out.
That's fine. Jordan, I'm going to... Okay. I'm going to be on my phone as... No, because then I might be cheating.
No, I don't want... No, don't... Don't get,
fine, I'm
going to
crush you, hopefully.
I want to win.
Okay. The first jack-off. This lady was credited post-World War I with liberating women from the constraints of the corseted silhouette. Yeah.
Post-World War I?
Post-World War I.
Chanders?
No, I don't know, Sonny.
Okay, number two. My signature product experienced a burst in popularity after Marilyn Monroe used it.
Chanty hose?
Nope.
Damn, doesn't make sense, sorry.
I have no clue.
I popularized a sporty casual chic and also produce a world famous perfume. Yeah.
Chanel?
You got it.
Oh, nice.
Chanel?
I was thinking like Chana Winters.
Do you know her first name, George?
Coco?
Yeah,
no.
It's Coco. Is it
Coco?
It is Coco.
Oh. Yeah, oh, that's Coco
Grandmama
Chanel.
Coco.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, number two. I was nobility in a.
Sir Chancelot.
Chanastasia.
Were either of us right?
No.
Wait,
what did you say, Matt?
Wait.
Chancelot.
No.
Damn it, that would have been tight.
Oh, I said Chanastasia.
I was nobility in one of the central powers of Europe.
Chance Ferdinand?
Yeah. So you got it.
Damn. It would be, wouldn't it be
Chance Ferdinand?
Ferdinand.
Do you want to give me 6 points? And we don't.
I don't
think
we do that anymore.
All right, Jordan. Sorry.
for all the marbles.
Okay.
Sir Chancelot.
Let's see what the best.
Sonny doesn't know who this person is. He just looked up a bunch of syllables.
I was nominated for an Academy Award. Oh, no. Okay. I was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor, and I was also nominated for a Grammy for Best Spoken World Album for a Shrek book.
Oh, my gosh. I have no idea. Sorry. Okay,
no
George.
Clue.
Here we go.
I...
For the tie.
Played... Nigel in The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh. Chanley Tucci?
Chanley Tucci?
Yeah, Matt did say Chanley.
Oh, no!
That was down to the wire. That
damn,
was a close one.
Sorry, George. Photo finish.
It's okay. It's okay. I'll get it next time. I knew it.
Stanley Tucci was nominated for a Grammy for the Shrek book?
Yeah. That's cool. The one and
what
only
is the Shrek.
Shrek
book?
It's probably about Shrek, unless there's something else called Shrek.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
I was going to say, Shrek I was book. Just going to go with he won the Academy Award for, I mean, he got nominated for The Lovely Bones, but I think that would have been too easy.
I didn't know that he was nominated for that. I never saw that movie. Hmm. Does he play the...
I never saw the
Does
Lovely
he play the
Bones
murderer?
Either.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Maybe I should check it out.
There's a murderer? You ruined The Lovely Bones Sorry, for Jordan. Me.
We're going to watch Bleeding Steel. We've been talking about it. I mentioned it at the beginning. Where is it watchable, Sonny?
It's on Amazon Prime.
All right.
Prime?
Streaming or
yes,
to purchase?
Streaming. It recently hit Prime free streaming.
Can I buy it?
If you would like.
I'm sure. I'm going to buy it. All right. Sorry, Jordan. Do you have a movie that you would have picked?
No, it's okay. The Dragon One.
Okay.
I don't know if that was the one with
the one that I saw when I was in New Orleans.
The one with Adrian Brody. Oh God.
Yeah, with Adrian Brody God, and John.
We have
Cusa.
To keep that beast. Keep that beast away. Motivate. It's a great motivation to run from the fire. That is that movie. I'm sure. Okay. Thank you for listening to Chanceplaining. We apologize for. What might be the worst episode we've done? Maybe it's the best. Who knows? Depends what you're listening for. These
Every
movies
week.
Were not our favorite.
Every it's week it's best. A race to the bottom.
we're seriously running out of good ones, and then we're going to pivot. Keep our pivot foot down, and then we're going to hit a sweet hook shot like Hakeem Olajuwon. Skyhook.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. All
right. Yeah, that was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I don't know what that means.
What was Elijah Wan's thing?
The the shake and bake.
The dream shake. Nice. We're going to do both. We're going to do a dream shake into a sky hook.
Yeah.
Can't stop it. Undefendable play. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Music. Music. Fan, 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 fan